Hi, folks. It's Scott from buyandselldvc.com. Have you ever thought of giving your family a lifetime of Disney vacations? What if we told you you can lock in today's rate for the next 50 years? Again, that's buyandselldvc.com.
Hello, welcome to the WW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by my guest co-host, by my buddy, by the president, by the maitre d', by the prime minister, by the sheriff of DVC-Rental and Buy and Sell DVC, Scott Ferrioli. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I had a whole list of additional job titles to throw at you, but I figured let's
like
just cut
maitre d', personally.
The maitre d', right? Can I seat you? Can I help you? There you go. All things good in your life, Scott?
Yep, everything's going well over here. Just busy.
Is this the busy season for you guys? Is after the new year? Okay.
Yeah, typically after Christmas, and we stay busy January, February, March, and it normally in April it starts, you know, slowing down a little bit. But yeah, typically the first 3 months of the year are always our busiest for the year.
Okay, explain. Why? Why would that be? Why is that?
In the typical situation, I think that leading up until Christmas and probably Thanksgiving as well, that everybody's preparing for the holidays, everybody's thinking about hosting or going away somewhere, and they're thinking about presents, and they're thinking about saving their money to buy, you know, holidays are expensive, to either travel and or, you know, give gifts and everything. Mm-hmm. And then once Christmas is over, everybody's mindset just switches. They say, okay, the holidays are done. You know, let's now prepare. You know, we've got the upcoming year right now. Let's prepare our Disney trips. And a lot of times with people are all together as well for the holidays, maybe not as much this year. But, you know, a lot of times I think there's a lot of families together. And, you know, on Christmas, the Disney families, they're talking about Disney. And everybody's now saying Christmas is over. Everything, we don't have to worry about anything and all the planning. Let's plan for our next Disney trip. And typically the day after Christmas, we blow up.
Okay. So that's just for rentals, or is that for the buying and the selling as well too?
That's mostly based on rentals.
Okay.
Resales has been very, very steady as well. I mean, we had a very busy year last year, surprisingly, considering, you know, what's going on in the world. And this year has been busy as well. But typically, after the holidays, same thing. I think a lot of people are planning for the holidays. And then all of a sudden, people go, what do we do now? And they start thinking Disney. And that's when we start getting busy for both companies.
Okay.
Especially for rentals.
So just hold that thought for a second. And I know with your rental, DVC-Rental, it's the longest running point rental company in the U.S. And your story always makes me smile when I think about it. When you were telling me, and we've been friends for a long time, that your side gig used to be, let's figure out how to rent points and how to do this. And then all of a sudden your side gig became more time consuming than your real life. Hence the story of you moving down there. And this is it. So, after the new year, so this kind of takes a negative spin to it. Is that also when people take a reflection of their financial state and be like, okay, I can't necessarily afford the DVC membership, or maybe this is something we thought about selling, or is that also what happens after the new year?
Not as much. I would say that possibly a little bit earlier than the holidays, we'll get an influx of contracts coming in.
Sale. Okay.
Because people know that the dues are going to be coming up. So a lot of people want to possibly sell their contracts before their dues are coming up in January.
Gotcha. When I sold mine through you, I think it was August that we sold it. It was the middle of the summer. But I had paid the dues. But since it was still August, he was going to receive still the August and the September and October and November and December. So he picked up the cost of the dues that I already had prepaid for. Mm-hmm. Does that happen if you sell it in, like, let's say it's – I guess this all depends on use year. It's not calendar year based on DVC. So
exactly what you're saying is correct. But also a lot of times come September or so, people will not want to pay the dues for the year.
Gotcha.
So again, even if you have an October use year or something like that, you know, sometimes they won't want to pay the dues for it. So a lot of times people want to list them before we start hitting September or so, because they know the dues are going to be coming up, so they want to close before then. and they want to make sure that they're getting reimbursed for the current year's dues as well.
Okay. So, full out disclosure, Scott and I are buddies. Scott's also a sponsor of the show, and you know, we talk about a lot of different things off the air. But the reason that we actually even started talking in the first place was, even before I knew Scott Ferrioli, you know, I had done business with other DVC companies, and this is not necessarily a reflection of the DVC companies as a whole, but of individual companies. It's like, you know, you get some good ones, you get some bad ones. You put some feelers out there, you get no responses back, or you get terrible responses back, or wrong information. And I remember sending you a message on Facebook saying, hey, we have a show, you've got a company, you want to talk about DVC? And like, the responses were like immediate and like proper and punctual. And I was like, good, because I like communication like this, because it takes 2 minutes to do it the right way. Or if you don't do it the right way and it's got misspellings and incorrect grammar and like delays, it's like, okay, how professional really are you at that point? So anyways, so it was a great day when the Dubs and you decided to hook up and you know, become a team. So
well, I greatly appreciate it, and we always try to reply quickly, and we try to be professional, because as I've said from the beginning, there are other companies that do what we do. We just want to offer the best customer service and, you know, reply quickly, be professional about everything. I mean, everybody who works with us is pretty well educated, and, you know, we try to come across that way. Even though if you're listening to this or watching this video, you'll probably see me stumbling and bumbling later on. I swear I have an education, but we do our best.
Scott, you can't claim that. That's my deal. My deal is to have the education but come across like a fool. So that's my gig. You can't interact with that. So so this is all the good part of the show. Okay, so this is where we're going to lose.
It goes downhill from here?
It goes downhill rapidly from here. So what our goal is today is we're just going to do a general DVC ranking for the resorts. Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot, and we're just going to talk about Florida resorts today. And so in conversation, I threw at you a few different parameters. So do you have your phone handy, Scott, of the parameters I threw at you for what we would judge each resort on? Yes, no?
I have some of it up. I probably did differently than you wanted, which is always part of the fun as well. But I had you wanted best atmosphere,
uh-huh,
best overall theme, best points to stay, and best food options.
Great. So what we were going to do is essentially we wanted to come up with a ranking system, and we just couldn't say, oh, well, Old Key West, I like it because it's nice and laid back, so that's number one. We had to give it criteria. But if you took every one of those criteria and kind of blended it together and made your complete ranking, it doesn't have to be a number, just in your mind. And we wanted to focus on the Florida resorts. So you happen to be in the business of renting and selling these, but of course you're going to go and rank one of these in last place today. So I think we should literally say that there really isn't any bad options. There are just preferences at this point.
Yep.
And though you might love the boardwalk, which I know you do, some people might say, I can't stand that place. It's too loud. It's too noisy. So we completely get that. But when you said people were really busy right now for the first 3 months, what has been the most popular request as of right now? Can you make that statement of which resort is always the one that people are like, hey, I got to stay at, or do you have any availability for, you know, what resort is that?
I'd say the number one probably overall request is probably Beach Club. We're getting a lot more Riviera in than we ever had before. So we're getting a lot of people requesting Riviera, and I think that's just because it's so new that a lot of people don't even really know it exists or what it's like.
Okay.
But yeah, so surprisingly, a lot of Riviera, but overall probably there's so many different resorts, a lot of different choices, but I think Beach Club probably is the overall number one, maybe.
Okay.
Not even sure.
Just because of how small it is, of course. Yeah.
We had a couple thousand a week, so I'm going, which one's the number one? And honestly, I don't even touch that much anymore. You know, I have a team that checks availability for people. So, you know, right now I'm going by, like, what type of booking forms and stuff come into us, which is more stuff what we handle.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Beach Club's probably up there. But, it's very busy now.
Okay. Have you touched on Beach Club on your DVC weekly show? Oh, by the way, too, here, that's something new for you guys. You now have a YouTube, and I know it's a podcast now, essentially, where you do a weekly show called DVC Weekly from DVC Rental and Buy and Sell. You, Jason, Ty's behind the scenes. I saw the big old light shining on you the other day. You know, so you guys do a YouTube show. Have you touched on Beach Club recently?
We actually just released our Beach Club episode today, this morning, a couple hours ago.
Okay, so
just went out. It's episode 7.
Okay, when we release this, it'll probably be out for a couple weeks or a week or so. So, again, is it just DVC Weekly? Is that how I'd search for it on YouTube, or should I find it on Facebook, or what's the best way?
DVC Weekly on Facebook is probably the best way to find it. You can always go to any of our business pages, either DVC-Rental webpage on Facebook or Buy and Sell DVC on Facebook, and you can find it that way. But if you search on YouTube for DVC Weekly, that'll be the fastest way to find it.
Okay. So on the show, you talk about the resort. You do the old Scott Farioli Food of the Week review, which I always chuckle at because some of the ones you think are hits aren't hit, like the peanut butter cupcake one that you had a couple weeks ago, which your whole family turned on it, essentially. So, yeah, it's really cool. It's about, what, 30 minutes in length or so, and it educates you quickly on that. But I know we talked about the DVC Resort rankings. Let's just start angering people right now. Okay, Scott.
That's what we do best.
That's what you do best. So let's get people frustrated with Scott Farioli right now. Overrated, underrated. I'm going to list you 5 things, and this is...
Again, he doesn't set me up for this stuff. I've got a list of my favorite resorts, but now we're doing some overrated, underrated. I don't know what's going to happen, so I'm on the spot. Here we go.
Yes.
Here's where it gets ugly, and you start getting flustered, like I mentioned.
5-star, 1-star review. Exactly. Here we go. Overrated, underrated. Give me your honest gut impression. Mickey Bar.
Overrated.
Oh, man. Already you started off making people upset. The Mickey Pretzel.
Underrated.
Okay. The churro.
Underrated.
The turkey leg.
Highly overrated.
Highly overrated. Boom. And I second that. People know if they listen to this show, I completely agree. All right. The Dole Whip.
I was waiting for that one. I'm like, this Dole Whip's coming. Overrated.
Scott, I completely agree. And people are listening right now and they're like, why? Why? So explain to me briefly. Give me a few sentences. Why is the Dole Whip overrated?
I think a lot of it is just perception. And everybody talks about the Dole Whip. Same with like the Mickey bars. The Mickey bars are just kind of plain. It's just a plain ice cream bar. There's nothing special about it. The Dole Whip, I've had it once or twice. Not a huge fan. I mean, it's just a lot. Typically, you've got the Dole Whip and the float. I think mostly I've had the float. And it's just a lot of pineapple. It's just like it's just pineapple swirled ice cream with pineapple juice as well. It's just... It's bad. When I say overrated, it's not like I'm going, this is disgusting. You know, it's just, it's overrated. Everybody talks about the Dole Whip. It's, oh my God, I got to try a Dole Whip. And I'm going, it's not that good. It's fair. Like, I do the food of the week where I do a 1 to 10 scale. If I was rating a Dole Whip, I'd honestly probably give it a 5.3. You know, it's
gotcha.
average at best. And it's one of those things that's the most talked about. The Mickey bars and the Dole Whips are the two most talked about Disney snacks. And when you taste them, you're like, that was really nothing. It's like the Mickey bar. It's just a regular ice cream bar you get at the grocery store for, you know, $1. Or you can buy it at Disney for $6. And you go, it's decent. It's fair. It's not, you know, but it's not going to blow you away. And it's $6 or something. It's not, it's just overrated.
So half your audience loves you and half your audience says, Scott, I can't believe you just said that. But you know what? As far as the Dole Whip goes, I agree. It's the mystique of the Dole Whip, as opposed to the actual product of the Dole Whip. Because, honestly, I don't know if it is... You're right. It's pineapple soft serve. You know, maybe it comes in a cool souvenir bowl. So, but I agree with you that I think it's overrated. So, anyway, send your hate mail to Scott Farioli at Buy and Sell DVC and DVC-Rental. There you go. Anyways.
I tried the first round. We're over. And hopefully Gary Vee is watching that, and he's watching me do the overrated, underrated.
Nice. Here we go. All right. So we wanted to review all the Florida resorts. So anything that resides in Florida. So we're throwing in Vero Beach here among the Walt Disney World resorts. We're not covering Alani.
About 5 minutes ago.
I related it to you. The Grand Californian or Hilton Head, those are separate. So we're not even including those at this point. So, and for this discussion, we're going to include Boulder Ridge and Copper Creek. And we're including Jumbo and Kidani. Those are one resorts. So when you walk on a resort, you're looking for the food options, for the theming, the point rental. So things like Old Key West, it might not be in the bottom half. It could be in the top half because you can get a point rental stay in off-season weekday for like 9 points or 10 points a night, which is it's pretty strong. When you go to Grand Floridian, you're talking like 35, you know, for the one night stay. So there, that does factor in. But anyways, let's go from the bottom to the top. So we've got 11. So give us your, I don't want to say your worst, because worst is the wrong word. Give us your lowest ranked resort first, please.
My lowest ranked resort, and again, they're all fantastic resorts, but we have to do this. But my lowest ranked resort, and I was debating between the bottom two, Saratoga Springs.
And I
want to specify that both Chris and I own at Saratoga Springs. So it's not like it's a bad resort. Both of us own there. You know, we have contracts at Saratoga Springs. I have a couple contracts at Saratoga Springs because it's such a great bang for the buck option to purchase it. But it's one of my least favorite to stay at. And it's not that it's bad in any way. It's just, it's towards the bottom. And I actually have written down that they have, I put them down for having the best food options out of any resort on property right now. With it being so close to Disney Springs, I was at Disney Springs yesterday, and it's absolutely fantastic at Disney Springs. So I put down Saratoga Springs. Also have good quick service and a good turf club, good restaurant, plus all the access to Disney Springs. I put down for best food, and it was still at the bottom of my list.
Okay, why is that? Because it has to be up high for the point value rental. Is it the theming? Is it just the massive size? If you're situated over in like the grandstand, or I mean, you could be forever from like Artist Palette. I mean, you could be forever from the shop. What is the reason?
Correct. I mean, the size of the resort makes it a little bit cumbersome to get around. It has two great pools, which is nice. And I mean, it's not a bad resort. It's just the overall theming of Saratoga Springs being, you know, the race capital in upstate New York, being from New York and everything, going, it doesn't do much for me. You know, it's like some of the resorts are really, really exotic where you feel like you're somewhere special. And this one just has like touches of horse racing, which is honestly not really my thing.
Okay.
So the rooms themselves are nice. The new refurbishment that they're doing makes the rooms much nicer than they were previously. I think that they're really, really well done. They're on par with like Riviera, and they're beautiful rooms. I wish they would put the sleeper in the studio so it slept five, but it's a beautiful resort. Landscaping is great. The problem is if you're not by Disney Springs, if you're kind of off somewhere, it's a little bit far. It's definitely a resort that I would encourage that if you're staying there, it might be best to have a car with you. Is help you get around the resort and or get to the parks, because while each section does have its own private bus stop, you know, if you're in the first stop, you've got to go all the way around the bus loop to you're finally able to leave the resort. So it's, again, not a bad resort at all, but that's why it's kind of towards the bottom. The rooms are good, but nothing jumps out. You're not near or walking distance to, you know, any specific park, so it's missing that part of it. But great resort, but towards the bottom. I've only stayed there a small amount of times.
Completely valid. I wondered why we stayed there as a family fairly frequently, aside from owning there, and it's because we don't take a lot of parks vacations. We just enjoy the atmosphere. So when we drive down, it's perfect. We go to the springs cost nothing. You go over to the Character Warehouse, you go do some shopping in Orlando or wherever. It's perfect because it's the easiest like resort to get off property, you know, or it's relatively close to getting off property. So that's why we've stayed there. But you're right. If you're doing a 7 day, seven park, you know, Disney vacation and you're at Saratoga, that's uber inconvenient, you know, at that point to take the buses. So valid point. Okay. Number 11 was Saratoga Springs. Number 10, which is next?
I have Old Key West.
Oh, you went with the bottom guy. You went with the cheapest points, so that didn't factor high in your search.
I have that written down as it's best points to stay. There are some. I have a best points to stay runner up because there are a few that are right around. You know, Saratoga Springs, Old Key West, and two others that we'll mention later on can be around the same point range, starting at like 10 points per night.
Okay,
but again, there's nothing wrong with Old Key West. It's got the same. The thing is, it has the same setup that Saratoga Springs has, you know, multiple buildings, kind of best to have a car. It does have some great food options as well. Olivia's is one of my hidden gems on Disney property for a great restaurant that also is relatively inexpensive. Rooms are a little bit bigger, so that's why it's above Saratoga Springs. It's got larger rooms. I do like the rooms more at Old Key West.
Mm-hmm.
But same condo style as Saratoga Springs, which also, when I stay at a resort, sometimes I enjoy the lobby. I like the atmosphere of the hotel where, you know, you walk down the hallways and you feel like you're in an enclosed area that's like special and safe. You know, that's your thing. Whereas both Old Key West and Saratoga Springs are more of a condo style where you can park right in front of your building, which is convenient as well, right in front of the room, and then walk in. But it's more of an open condo, I don't want to say motel, but, you know, a style where the rooms are all facing the outside, not in an interior hallway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just something that I don't like as much. I prefer the interior hallways, and it makes me feel like I'm somewhere special versus just kind of like in
your friend's condominium. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like, again, great resort, beautiful and everything, but it almost, you feel like you're in your buddy's condominium in Florida. You know, but it'll have that feel and everything, and love the music that they play there. You know, they've got the reggae and like Jimmy Buffett style music. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a beautiful resort, but that's the reason I have it towards the bottom of my list.
It's forever to get to a drink refill station. And the food options, though, I love Olivia's as well, too. It's really weak after that. The gurgling suitcase is just a quick service sandwich, grab and go type option. But if you were to drive, let's say Stacy from the show, and they drive down there, there's something really nice about backing the van up, and then there's like a 50-foot walk to your room. As we've stayed at the boardwalk before, and we've had to park in the parking lot, and then when you bring your luggage up or you go and bring your food, if you went to wherever for dinner, it's like, I have to walk 3/4 of a mile to get to my room. It's ridiculous. So yep. There is something to be said about that. But if I had to rank those two, I'd put Saratoga on top of Old Key West, but I guess they're interchangeable just because if you're not eating at Olivia's at Old Key West, there really isn't a whole heck of a lot for you right there.
Yeah.
Cute little shop though at Old Key West. One of my favorite shops.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. I love their store. So, all right. Number nine.
Number nine, I have Copper Creek in Boulder Ridge.
Whoa! Okay.
And truthfully, I have Boulder Ridge. I had them originally listed Boulder Ridge above Copper Creek. But we'll say it's the same resort, but I like Boulder Ridge a little bit more than Copper Creek.
Okay.
And they're very, very close because they're both Wilderness Lodge, as you know. So, again, great resort, amazing lobby. I mean, when you walk into the main Wilderness Lodge lobby, I mean, you feel like you're somewhere special. You know, big open air, well done. It's the same exact architect who did Animal Kingdom's Jumbo House. So big open air lobby, beautiful, big gigantic fireplace, rocking chairs, Whispering Canyons right there. I mean, it's a great resort, great location. You know, as you're fully well aware, it's on the boat loop to Magic Kingdom. And it's a great resort. Boulder Ridge is in the villas section, so it's kind of by itself. You have to go down a little covered walkway to get there, and the rooms are larger than at Copper Creek. And the studio sleep 5 instead of 4. Copper Creek is they redid several of the rooms inside the main building, so it's nice to be inside the main building as well because that's where a lot of the action is, and it's beautiful inside that lobby. The rooms are smaller. And both the studios and one bedrooms only sleep 4. It's the only other one bedroom on property besides the Value View at Jumbo House that only allows 4.
That's a good point.
So, you know, Boulder Ridge allows 5 in both the studios and the one bedrooms. If you've got 5 people, Copper Creek, you're going to have to go up to a 2-bedroom. So, again, towards the bottom, but again, fantastic, fantastic resort and beautiful, especially beautiful, as you know, around the holidays.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering here, because, Scott, I mean, if I just name things, they have it there. You know, Fabulous Pools, plural, yes.
Yep.
They have the cabins, yes. They have a great... they have character dining. They have quick service. They have... It literally has everything. It's got the greatest... It might have the best theme. It might be in my top 3. So I'm really surprised they have this one. But you're valid in there of the 4... yeah, exactly. But still surprising.
I've got this in the bottom 3, and this is a super solid resort. You know,
yeah.
So you go. You know, none of these are bad resorts. You know, you're trying to pick through these amazing resorts to go. Which ones are the worst? And you're going, they're all good resorts. And again, this is at the bottom, and people are going to agree with me because I know a lot of people who this is their top resort.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if somebody sat there and said, this is my top resort, here's why, you can't argue that. It's a fantastic resort.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Number eight.
I'm going to upset some people here. I have Beach Club here.
Whoa.
And again, as I said, Beach Club is one of the top ones that we probably get requests for. It's got most people consider it the best pool on property. Fantastic location. It's a little... The room... I have it down this far because I think a lot of the other ones have nicer rooms. The room... And again, we just released a two-bedroom at Beach Club on our YouTube page on this past Monday. So, mm-hmm. Again, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks after this video goes live. And it's a really nice room, but it's a little bit cramped, and it's just it's not as nice as some of the other resorts in the rooms. I mean everything about the hotel is fantastic. The pool, the lobby, they got some really good food options on the boardwalk. Fantastic location. I just dropped it a little bit because maybe the rooms could be a little bit nicer. Maybe they were just refreshed recently. I'm not blown away by the refurbishment on them. I mean, I think honestly, the Saratoga Springs rooms kind of blow away Beach Club.
Whoa, okay.
And again, there's nothing wrong with Beach Club. Fantastic resort, but that's why if the knock on it, I would say personally, is I think the rooms could be a little bit nicer.
And the point rental total or the point cost
is a little bit higher.
It's high.
Well,
so. It's high. Yeah. Okay. I guess that makes sense. Beach Club is beloved by people. But when you stack up as far as food and location and pools on the top, point rental and rooms and availability, which wasn't a criteria, it's in last place, you know. So, okay. Number seven,
I have Polynesian.
Okay.
Which, again, fantastic resort, beautiful rooms. Main knocks on Polynesian is that they only have the studios and the really, really, really expensive bungalows that most people don't stay in. And that's it. There's no one bedrooms. There's no two bedrooms. So there's not a lot of options. But, I mean, again, I think one of the best pools on property as well. Fantastic location, being normally on the monorail, which is currently being refurbished at the moment, but also being a boat ride to Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Great food options, all, you know, when you get to the main ceremonial house. But it's a great resort. Again, at this, you know, as you know, when we're getting to this stuff, we're kind of like nitpicking stuff and like, you know, why it's here versus other ones. But I mean, absolutely great, great resort. It's just there are ones I like a little bit better, and I mean, it's great.
You're not wrong. Here's why it would be in the bottom half for me as well, too, Scott. Mm-hmm. It's always busy. Always busy. The lobby's always...
Except for right now, because only the DVC rooms are open. The rest of the resort's shut down.
But when the resort's fully operational, you go to the lobby, 300 people in the lobby at all times. You go to the gift shop, always busy, 50 people in the gift shop. You want to go to Captain Cook's, you want to go to Trader Sam's, good luck. You want to go... It's always, always busy.
And that's the thing, with it being on the monorail... And with having all the different food options and stuff in there, a lot of times it's extra busy because I'd say maybe half of the people there are not staying at the resort. They're all visiting either just to check it out, to do some shopping. So, I mean, you're right. It gets a lot of extra people in there that normally wouldn't be in the resort. So it is definitely busy there.
Okay. That was number seven. Number six.
Number six is where I threw in Vero Beach.
Okay. Explain this one because I know you love Vero.
Yes.
But
I do love Vero, but living by Disney World, I mean, there's, you know, I love being on property, being around here. Vero Beach is a great resort. There's not a lot of stuff to do there. So personally, I think Vero Beach is great for a 3-day trip to just get away and relax. Great. They're up there for having some of the top cast members around. I think because it's not a Disney resort, there's not as much stuff to do there. So they actually have, like, I feel like they have the cream of the crop over at Vero Beach because they know that there's like extra activities they have to do and there's extra things that they have to do to keep people happy. So I find that the cast members at Vero Beach are absolutely some of the best on all of Disney property. But great resort, you know, right on the Atlantic Ocean. So you've got the access to the ocean. You've got a nice pool there. As a DVC member, you get free, they have a little mini golf course right by the pool. So that while you're laying by the pool, your kids can run and go play mini golf. Mm-hmm. Great resort. They have just, you know, one restaurant and one quick service, which are pretty decent. It could use a couple more food options or stuff nearby because it's just a little resort by itself. And then, you know, right outside, there's nothing there besides other timeshares down the road or like a pizza place. So there's not a lot of stuff right at the resort. But to get away for 3 nights, super, super relaxing and really nice resort to visit.
Completely unlike anything at Walt Disney World, because Walt Disney World is really designed for you to go and spend additional resources for your entertainment and for whatnot. And Vero Beach, by design, it kind of forces you into a different style of vacation. And I'll just throw it out there right now. Even people are like, you know, I'm not a beach person. Vero Beach, obviously, it's by the number one tourist attraction in my mind, which is the Atlantic Ocean. So go and spend a day by the ocean and just sit out there for a few hours or by the pool. I know you're like, oh, I'm fair-skinned. You know, I burn quickly. There's nothing like being on the ocean out there. And it's so relaxing. And when you wake up in the morning, Michael does these Good Morning Edcot posts in our Facebook group. And he's had some Vero Beach pictures, and it's breathtaking. You've taken pictures at nighttime. Tyler's taken pictures at like sunset and sunrise, and that's not even possible. The colors and the sounds and the sights are not even possible. I mean, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. So,
oh, it absolutely is.
So solid. We've made a day trip there. We've not ever stayed, but we made a day trip, and we both left there and said, "Oh yeah, this has got awesome written all over it." So, all right, number six. Number five, we got the Grand Floridian. Got the Riviera, got Jumbo and Kidani, got Bay Lake, and Boardwalk is left. So, number five.
Number five is Bay Lake Tower.
Okay.
If I'm going to be 100% honest with you, I forgot to put Bay Lake on this list.
Okay.
And I would put it after Polynesian. I'll throw it in here now, but I would have put it after Polynesian because it has some of the best... has the best location, one of the best locations on property. Now that Grand Floridian has opened up the walkway that, you know, we've talked about in the past, you know, Bay Lake Tower was the only one that was in walking distance to Magic Kingdom, which is the main draw for Bay Lake Tower. It's also the only resort that offers a theme park view, so it's the only resort where you're guaranteed to see the park and or the fireworks when they're going off. And it's a very nice resort, but I find it's a little sterile. It's cold. When you walk in there, you feel like you're walking into like just a nice Westin. It doesn't have that Disney feel to me. Again, nice resort, nice location, but again, I would drop it down probably a little further, maybe even onto Beach Club.
Scott, you know what? Your words, though, itself...
How did I miss Bay Lake Tower?
Hang on, wait a minute. I'll tell you why. Your words are telling in its own right, because when you went through this list, if you proposed the same argument to me, I might have had Bay Lake as the last... as number 11, because it's forgettable. It's very forgettable, just like what you did. What are the restaurant options? Okay, you got to walk all the way down. You got to walk over the Sky Bridge. You got to go to the Contemporary. Okay, so it's not really convenient or on the property. Okay, what's the cohesive theme? Okay, yeah, let's move past that one. Okay, is the point value total expensive or inexpensive? Well, they can be if you don't want theme park view. It could be inexpensive, but it's
still not inexpensive.
Yeah.
Their standard view is still more than Boardwalk or Beach Club or stuff like that. So it's still on the higher side.
Correct. Yeah. So it's number one resource. It's number one thing it's got going for it is the location. Is a proximity. But everything else, honestly, if you were to tell me, would you stay at Bay Lake or would you stay at Wilderness Lodge? I have my mom coming, first time at Disney World. No doubt in my mind, she's going to Wilderness Lodge. She's going to Copper Creek or Boulder Ridge. I'm not taking her. She would be like, yeah, this is a really nice place. But like, mom, you don't know. You don't know the theming you would see at other resorts. So for me, I don't know if it would beat out. I mean, I think it would be last place for me is Bay Lake Tower. So like you said, you forgot to put it on the list. Very forgettable. Very forgettable.
Shame.
No. It's true. All right. So we've got Jumbo and Kidani. We got Boardwalk. We got Riviera and the Grand Floridian. We got four places left. Where are we going? Number four.
I'm going to Disney's flagship resort, Grand Floridian.
Okay. Why?
Which beautiful resort. The villas are separate from the main lobby. So the main lobby at Grand Floridian is absolutely breathtaking. The villas section, when you walk in, it's it's customer service oriented, so it's a very small little setup there with desks where you check in and you sit down versus staying in a big line and you just like behind, you know, a giant counter. You have your own personal desk and it's very nice customer service and it's a nice little lobby, but it's a little lobby. It's not super impressive. Great location. It has some of the nicest rooms on property. You know, all the studios have, you know, two bathrooms. All of the mirrors in all of the bathrooms have a little TV built into them. So Grand Floridian and Polynesian, in my mind, go hand in hand. They're typically Disney's two most expensive resorts. They've been around a long time together. They were Disney's two most, the two biggest, most expensive. And I like Grand Floridian a little bit more just because I find the rooms to be a little bit better. They're both on the monorail. Grand Floridian has some great food options, great pools as well. You've got really nice views of the castle. So, I mean, I'm nitpicking.
You're telling us why it's good, but there's a reason, too, why it doesn't rank number one, two, or
three.
It's
expensive.
Oh.
It's expensive.
Go into a search. just find an off-peak time and just find the studio, and it's like 37 points per night. And you're like, whoa. You know, a week would be a full allotment or a year and a half or 2 years allotment of points for a lot of people.
It's not that bad.
Yeah.
I think they start like 19 or something like that. So it's not as bad.
Okay.
Is that, but still expensive.
Yeah.
Still definitely more expensive.
Maybe I was thinking because I only look at the one bedrooms because of the size of the family and we have to get a one bedroom.
That makes perfect sense because again, one bedroom is always about double the price of the studios or double the points of the studio. So if I said 19 and you were saying 38, that's exactly your double. So
okay. You're
probably right on the money.
I will say this though, as far as theming goes, it might not be a lot of people's theming. That's not people's preference. They sometimes think it's
too snooty and uppity.
Correct. I mean, Scott and Chris, we feel completely at home there, obviously, when we walk in, right? We walk in with our baby blue and our orange tuxedo. But for most people, it's not necessarily what they feel comfortable in, but it's a great theme. And they've incorporated Mary Poppins and the penguins well. And the food options are great. The location's great. So it addresses, it's busy as well too, though. Not as busy as the Polynesian, but it is busy as well, especially at the monorail level when they let you off in the resort, not the ground level, the monorail level, by the basin in the store. It is busy as well up there too. So, all right. We've got three places left. Where are we going with number three?
Number three has moved up on my list within somewhat recently. It's Riviera.
Okay.
We just stayed there a couple weeks ago, and I stayed there previously as well. And it's a really, really well-done resort. Location is pretty – I'll say it's decent because the other one's definitely a better location. But, I mean, it's on the Skyliner, and you've got really nice access to Epcot and Hollywood Studios. But that's a decent trip, as you know, for somebody who's been on the Skyliner before, Mr. Malik, with me. And you know, it's a ride, and Skyliner ride, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a fun ride. It's an attraction by itself, but it doesn't have the most fantastic location as some of the other ones. But resort is beautifully done. They're playing French and Italian music throughout their classical type, you know, instrumental stuff, and they have a bocce court outside, and my kids absolutely love playing bocce when we're there. Pretty nice pool, because some of the other ones I've named, the pools blow away the pool at Riviera.
Okay.
But they have a little gelato stand outside by the pool as well, which we tried it a couple weeks ago, had nice gelato. It was expensive, but nice options. Again, good food. I mean, it's a really, really nice resort. The rooms are absolutely beautiful. So, I mean, it's definitely moved up there on my list. And we really, really do enjoy Riviera.
Okay, we've got two left, but I want to touch base on the Riviera here. Because when they first brought Riviera on board, and this was back a year and a half or 2 years ago, they discussed the resale restrictions. So what have you seen for Riviera as far as quick purchases and then sellbacks now to the resale market, or purchases on the resale market of the Riviera? How has it impacted sales? And again, if you're listening for the first time, you're like, what do you mean? When you buy the Riviera, and what are the restrictions they place on you if you buy it resale from the Riviera?
So if you buy Riviera on the resale market, you can only stay at Riviera. It's the only resort that does that. You know, if you buy Polynesia or any of these other resorts, you can stay at all 14 other Disney resorts. But Riviera, you can only stay at Riviera. So anybody who's purchasing, you know, when you buy Riviera directly from Disney, you can stay wherever you like. Mm-hmm. When somebody wants to sell that contract, whoever buys it can only stay at Riviera and possibly any future resorts that Disney built. But obviously they haven't built anything yet, or there's nothing really in the pipeline at the moment, but because everything's kind of been like shut down. But again, if you buy on resale market Riviera, you can only stay there. So you have to figure any other contract you buy, you can stay at all these other resorts. So this is going to automatically push down the price for Riviera. You know, because
has it pushed down the price?
Yeah. Riviera's, I mean, a lot of these other resorts sell for a lot more than Riviera. And, you know, Riviera's got 50 years left on the contract. You know, they're brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Riviera typically is selling in the $120 to $130 per point range.
Okay.
So, I mean, it would probably sell for, I'd say, $160 a point if it didn't have these restrictions on there. So, I mean, and $130, I mean, is considering you can only stay at one resort, that's a high price.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, personally, I would not really want to do that. I would not want to spend $130 for a resort that I can only stay at one resort. But if you know you want to stay at Riviera, $130 is a pretty good deal. But and again, it could have been much, much worse. It's just Riviera, I think, has a demand because people do really like Riviera. I mean, this is number three on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Some people enjoy it. I mean, again, if this was somewhere else and it wasn't as popular, I mean, you could see resale prices in the 60s.
Okay.
But it's held its own considering the strong restriction on it.
Okay, let's do some comparisons then. Give me an example. What would you have a Saratoga contract of equal point value, say 200 points? What would a Saratoga contract sell for right about now?
Yeah, ballpark. As you know, mm-hmm. Saratoga Springs also expires earlier mm-hmm. than Riviera. With 2054 expiration, but Saratoga Springs, I'd probably say, would probably be in the $100 to $105 range. Maybe even a little bit lower if it's negotiated down a bit, but I mean, minimum probably 95, maybe up to 105.
Okay.
So that range.
Okay, so then Riviera would be about 130-ish,
mm-hmm.
okay, with yep. roughly 49 years, 50 years yep. left. And then let's go over to the Grand Floridian, who doesn't have as long of an expiration, but it's still relatively long. What is that selling for in the resale market?
Grand Floridian is probably going to be around the $165 point mark.
Okay.
So, you know, they made Riviera to kind of compete with Grand Floridian. It's supposed to be up there, same type of level, you know, of elegance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Grand Floridian is still going to be expiring a good amount before Riviera. And, you know, you're looking at $35 more per point for it.
Point. Yeah. Okay. All right. Number two. So I kind of think I know where we're going here, but number two.
Number two are my Animal Kingdoms.
Okay.
Personally, I like Jumbo House better than Kidani Village. I have Animal Kingdom, especially Jumbo House, as the best overall theme, and it's best points to stay runner-up
mm-hmm.
to Old Key West. Because Animal Kingdom and Jumbo House, you have a value option, which is the cheapest room to stay on property. Very, very hard to get, but cheapest room to stay on property. And then even when you go up to the standard views, that's typically right around the same exact points as Old Key West. Animal Kingdom, again, best theming. Location is by Animal Kingdom Park, so it's not as great location as some of the other resorts because it's kind of towards the end of the property. But I just find that it's just so exotic and different, and the lobby at Jumbo House is big, open, and when you walk in, it's breathtaking. And so having the option to sit there and either walk around the resort and see the animals, or if you've got a savanna view, walk out into your balcony and see the animals is something you would never expect to have. I mean, the first time I ever stayed there, I it was one of those things that I was like, I can't believe I'm actually getting the chance to stay here. I never thought I would stay on this property
mm-hmm.
because it's expensive. It's very expensive to do it through Disney, you know, much cheaper on points. But I was like, I can't believe I'm staying here. This place is amazing.
Exactly. Now, I kind of knew where number one would end up on this list with you, but I would say, again, if you asked me to do the article, the comparison, Jumbo and Kidani are number one, and it's not even close. It's not, no one's even in the vicinity. when you think about like 9, 10, 11 points a night for just standard studio, if you can get them, when you think about the food options, you're combining things like, you know, like Sanaa and Boma and you know, even just the quick service and the pools combined with the location of Animal Kingdom. Yeah. Now, it's inconvenient if you're going to Magic Kingdom or if you're going to Epcot. There's a definite bus, you know, requirement, and it can take time. But as far as theming and point totals, it's not even close. It's number one by a landslide for me. But I can't necessarily argue with you putting your number one in the top three. So number one for you.
As you're well aware, it's Boardwalk. And again, Animal Kingdom and Boardwalk have always been neck and neck for me for the last 15 years or so. I mean, Boardwalk, fantastic location. I have it down for having the best overall atmosphere. There's lots of stuff to do, lots of food options. Normal situation, you know, you've got dueling pianos there, you've got jelly rolls, you've got all the entertainment on the boardwalk. You have all like little stands set up selling food and funnel cakes, and they've got a thing you can shoot basketballs to win prizes. It's, you know, like it's a boardwalk carnival style theming, I guess. Easy walking distance to Epcot and Hollywood Studios if you want. You can take the boats to either of them as well, and now you've got access on the Skyliner as well if you want to hop on the Skyliner. So, I mean, Boardwalk, to me, is the top one. And with the standard view option, it's priced starting at $10 a point, 10 points per night, so you're starting right there with Old Key West and Animal Kingdom as well. Standard view is tougher to get, which is one of the reasons I own it Boardwalk as well, specifically just for that standard view, because I find that's one of the best deals on property if you get a standard view at Boardwalk. But otherwise, it could be a little bit expensive, you know, if you have to do a Boardwalk view or the preferred garden view. But it's fantastic hotel, and you can't go wrong with Animal Kingdom either. So again, my top two. Where do you have Boardwalk?
Boardwalk would be in the top three for me. It's not my preferred resort to go to, but when you throw in everything together and you come up with the whole package, yeah, just for the location of Hollywood Studios and Epcot, yeah, exactly. And then I've always kind of lumped Boardwalk, Swan, Dolphin, Yacht, Beach, always as like one resort, because you're walking there every day. You're going for the Crescent Lake Loop every day. You're getting ice cream here. So even though the restaurants, even though Beaches and Cream is Beach Club, it's kind of Boardwalk in my mind. Even though Garden Grove is, you know, is the Swan and Dolphin over there, it's kind of Boardwalk too as well. So it'd be in the top three for me. But let me have you do this. Tell me two things that resort needs to improve upon, or maybe a downside to staying at that resort. Because I can think of one right off the top of my head right now.
Long hallways?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know how you improve on that, though, unless maybe somehow you opened up another parking lot towards the other end or something like that. But it does have some really long hallways if you're towards the end.
Scott, like four years ago, I used to have that Fitbit, you know, the one that used to go on like your belt loop, that little like Fitbit like tag. And for me to wake up and get my morning coffee and come back, it was 1,000 steps from where I was staying. And I said, did I just walk a half a mile to get coffee in the morning? There's no way I just walked a half a mile to get my coffee from the refill station at the bakery. So
that's another option, is only having the refill station at the bakery. Yeah. Not just the long hallways, but just, you know, you have to do a long walk just to go get a drink or something. So while there's lots of food and drink options, depending on where you are, it could be a while before you're able to get to them.
Exactly. If you wanted to hear, like, I mean, this is a show plug for the Dubs. Go back like about a month from this is released. You'll see actually Scott and I, when I was in Florida last, we actually did a live show from the Boardwalk, and you get the sights. We describe them the best we can. The sounds, you hear like people working, you hear the birds, the music. It's a really cool show. So go back.
If your security yell at us and say, "Hey,
get out of there,
get over there,
hooligans." So yeah, no. I don't disagree. I would say, though, again, if this was my list, I know that I would probably tamper down Bay Lake Tower. I can't really disagree with Saratoga and Old Key West being towards the bottom, as they're more considered the, even though they're deluxe resorts, they're a value-based, and it's a different kind of traveler. If you're going to Polynesian or Grand Floridian, you're probably hitting Magic Kingdom two or three times in vacation. Really easy to walk there now. Now it's simple, you know, or even, but Bay Lake would be at the bottom of the list for me. I would probably have ranked Jumbo and Kadani number one again, and it wouldn't even be like anybody would be close. Wilderness Lodge, I was shocked. Wilderness Lodge has got to be in like a top five for people. So Polynesian's never really wowed me. It's captured hearts of so many people. But it's,
I'm recording this. I know that, like, you know, Ty and Ashley, who are part of our team, I mean, that's by far their number one choice always. They love Polynesian. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They'd stay there 90% of the time, so they love Polynesian. So, yeah, you know, it's different strokes, and that's what's great about Disney is that, you know, there's so many different resorts and so many different options that, you know, I've got Polynesian down at whatever, like 6 or 7, and you might have it around the same or lower, but, you know, other people, like, how can Poly number one no matter what?
No matter what, yeah, for sure. Okay, Scott, so if anyone had any questions, okay, so let's say they wanted to rent. I know on your website, on the DVC rental website, it's like, hey, you don't got to stay here. You don't got to own here to stay here. So explain to me this process. I want to stay at one of these 11 resorts. Give me the easiest way to do that. How do I take care of that with you?
The best thing is to go to DVC-rental.com, click on the check availability button, and just put in your dates. There is going to be a change hopefully coming to that sometime soon that we have not announced really yet or anything. But normally right now you click the check availability and our team will check everything, give you all the options that are left, give you all the pricing. In theory, in the next 2 months or so, we should have it essentially automated. So you put check availability, you put your dates, and it'll tell you every single resort that's available, how much they are, and you can book it right from that screen. So there will be no, you know, waiting for anybody to get back to you to check for you, because the system will automatically be able to do it.
Nice. And then what you guys would do, or what they do, is say, okay, we need, they want to stay, and it's 88 points for their entirety of the stay. Okay, who has 88 points and who has availability at the 10-month mark, 9-month mark? Okay, these guys do. And then someone would reach out and say, hey, I need to rent 88 points from you for the Smith in Ohio family, so to speak. Correct? Is that how it works?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what happens. Is somebody wants to book a room, then, you know, say you need 88 points and it's more than 7 months out, so that means we need to find a Polynesian. That means we have to choose a Polynesian owner who can book the room for you. So we just go off of the database that we have on our side, mm-hmm. find a family that's renting their Polynesian points, have them book the room for you as the renter, and everything will be booked in your names. We'll send you the confirmation number, so you'll be able to link everything up on My Disney Experience, mm-hmm. just like you normally do. And essentially everything is the same. It's booked in the Disney system. When Disney's offering their dining plans, you can get dining plans for you. We can book the tickets for you. Everything works as expected, just as you've been accustomed to for all these years through Disney.
Gotcha. And if you're listening right now, you're probably like, well, I don't really know. Maybe I should just go through Disney. I can tell you I was one of the people that rented points through Scott. So I was the person on the other side that actually had points to rent out. And it's easy as pie. It's easy peasy. I mean, we simply make the reservation under your name. It's good to go. I've done it a few times. So again, very easy. And it frankly, everyone knows the cost of Disney resorts are ridiculous. I mean, we're you know, even when you get to the value resorts, like in season, you're looking at, you know, $150, $160.
Oh, yeah. You've noticed they've jumped up a lot in the last year or so. Those values are...
Correct.
A couple times people quoting stuff with us, I mean, the values were $200 a night. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Because you could get Animal Kingdom Lodge Standard View Studio for less.
Not the same, yeah.
You know? So you're like, wait a minute, hang on. So I'm staying at the values or Animal Kingdom Lodge? There's no comparison. So, again, DVC-rental. I know it sounds like an ad read for you, but frankly, honestly, it's like the no-brainer of no-brainers, you know, as far as if you're going to stay on property. So
yeah, I mean, and it's one of those things that I'm going with, not like it's a scam or anything, or you know what, check with Disney, check to see what their prices they have,
mm-hmm, for sure,
then come to us, you know, and make sure that we can get you a better deal than what Disney has. I mean, sometimes there's a chance that they've got some crazy promotion, they'll beat us, but do your homework. I mean, the best thing is, you know, we want an educated customer. Do your homework, check to see what Disney charges, then come to us and see what we can do for you, because you want to make sure you're getting the best price.
What about cost? What do I have to pay you? You know, as far as like, if I was going to do that, is it like, do I pay you a $50 deposit, a $500 deposit, all of it? What do I do for that?
So when somebody's ready to book a room, there's a $200 deposit, which mm-hmm. goes towards the total. That's not an additional fee or anything. Once we secure the reservation for you, we'll send you the contract with all the information where you can link it up immediately. The remaining balance is due within 1 week, because we do have to pay the DVC members, like Chris, you know, their first payment as well. So $200 down, remaining balance for the room due within 1 week. We could add tickets for you month down the line. If the dining plan comes back again, we could add that month down the line to help spread out the payments as well.
Do we get a glossy autographed photo of Scott Farioli included with that? Like an 8x11 or something like that? I'm just asking.
We may have to do something where we take a picture together and we sign it for people, for the VIP clients.
Nice.
You book over a certain amount and you get the signed,
yes,
both of our pictures.
That'll move the needle. There you go.
We're ready to take off now.
So if we made 50 of those, you would, at the end of the year, would have 50 remaining. So very good. Excellent. People want to know more about DVC. I know through our Facebook group, through our, I don't want to say listener, through our friend group, it's called EDCOT. But specifically for DVC information, where do they go? Give me a resource.
For DVC information, I would say you can go to our resales page, which is Disney Vacation Club Resales DVC. That's mostly if you're looking to buy, but if you've got rental questions, you can put them on there as well. Our Facebook page is DVC-Rental Webpage, or you can go to buy the Facebook group Buy and Sell DVC is our business page on Facebook, and you can always email me directly at Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at DVC-rental.com.
Or send Scott a friend request on Facebook. I know he's got
it. Send me a friend request. That always works out well. I love Disney friends.
Gotcha. And I would usually say, hey, yeah, if he doesn't respond back to you, let me know and I'll get on him. But I don't. That's something I never have to worry about you. You always get back to people, so we're good to go. No,
I spend, honestly, a good amount of my day on
Facebook. It's glued to your hand.
Yeah, I get the laptop attached to me on Facebook, you know, messaging people, doing, you know, posting stuff. I'm always working and doing stuff. So, yeah, if you can reach out to me, I'll get back to you quickly.
Outstanding. Okay, so I think we've angered enough people, especially people who own at Old Key West, Saratoga, Dole Whip fans, Mickey Bar fans, and Wilderness Lodge fans. So, I think we've angered them enough.
That's most of them. don't forget, you've upset the Bay Lake Tower fans as well.
Oh, you know what, though? I'm used to making people upset, so that's why we get the reviews that we do. No, I'm just joking with that. So, anyways, for listening today, we appreciate it. If you could go to your podcast provider of choice, leave us a review. We would appreciate that as well. And again, our group is called EDCOT, E-D-C-O-T. Scott's a friend of mine. He's there. So if you have any DVC questions, he can answer them there as well.
Join the group. It's a great group of people in there.
Thank you for that. Anyways, we hope we made you smile today, and we hope we didn't upset you too bad between Scott and Chris. And we made your commute a little shorter for listening. Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Have a wonderful day.